when you hear the rumble of the racetrack. You're listening to NASCAR on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.
Problems here, and a car is on fire. It's the number two Vision Racing Machine, the Lily sponsored car, A.J. Foyt the fourth. We had several problems. E.J. Fizzo, the rookie, he had problems getting out of his pit stall. We also saw the 16 of Alex Lloyd, problems getting into his car. Right now, though, the fire and safety team are dousing the number two car of A.J. Foyt the fourth with all kinds of fluid, fire extinguisher, water, and they are trying to get the fire out on the car. It looks like they have done so.
Action from the 92nd running of the Indianapolis 500, as heard here on North Sound 1380. Started at 9 o'clock, and I think that by the time the broadcasting day got done, it was 1 hour per every 100 miles that we brought. I think they wrapped it up about 8 o'clock. You know, when history is talked about 30, 40 years down the road, there's going to be a couple of names that when it comes to late model racing here in the Pacific Northwest, maybe even on the West Coast, that are going to be synonymous with each other. Names like Garrett Evans, names like Pete Harding will be always surfacing as some of the greats around here. And it's a pleasure, always good to have Pete or a facsimile of Pete Harding on the line. But Pete joins us from up in Canada. Good evening, sir.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Fine. We're real good.
You got that winner's grin wiped off your face finally?
No, I haven't quite got it off yet.
Oh, really?
I was steam cleaning the car, so that'll get it off pretty quick.
Ah, I see. Okay, now it's back to basics, huh?
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. Well, again, congratulations, and congratulations, I guess, to the group as a whole for finally putting on a show.
Yeah, you know, we had that rain out down there at Monroe, which kind of started everything off on a bad foot, and then, you know, the cancellation of the next race. So it was nice to get the race in, and, you know, we got some nice weather over there. And of course, you know, I love going to Yakima, so everything worked out real well.
Yeah, Yakima has always been very, very good to you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it sure has. It's my most successful track over the years.
Mm-hmm.
We've won 2 Apple Cups and 4 Fall Classics, the first one they ever ran there in 1988, and quite a few tour races now, so it's been real good, and I got a good sponsor. I've had a good sponsor over there for 12 years in LP Body Shop, who's sponsored race cars in the Pacific Northwest for a long time.
Pete, you, as we started out here, Steve put your name on a list of, you know, let's face it, you're gonna be written down as a legend in this area, late model racing.
Yeah,
I was just curious, what do you contribute a lot of your success to over the years? I mean, you've won a lot of races and a championship or two along the way. What do you contribute most of your success to?
Well, you know, and I think the success that I've had is the passion for racing and enjoying it. You know, this is my 40th year. I started in 1968 at Langley Speedway up here, and I ran 12 years or so, and then I went to Skagit. I ran there for, you know, 6 or 7 years, and then, you know, went back to the pavement and started racing with the tour. And I think just the passion of racing and the enjoyment of going to the racetrack is, kept me interested and, working hard all the time to try to win more races.
With Shane Racing now and you having your success, this leads to the question, do you still have the same desire and passion that you had when it all started?
Yeah, you know, I think Shane helped me with that, no question. When he got into late model racing, it definitely got me going some more. You know, we might have been, kind of getting a little burnt out there. But when he got involved with it, it seemed like it gave me an extra boost. Our shops are kind of back-to-back, so the guys are, you know, always working hard and trying to get more wins. And, and it's just the drive from both the crews and everything, have kept us competitive and racing. And I'm looking forward to, you know, he's going to get into some more late model racing this year, and I'm looking forward to racing with him and trying to beat him.
Pete, you talk about the drive. You put a lot of miles on your hauler, don't you?
Yeah, we sure do. everyone's a long way for us. And, of course, the border nowadays, in the last 6 or 7 years, the situation at the border has really changed for us, so we have some long lineups sometimes. We can spend hours getting across the border either way, depending on, you know, what time of the day or, you know, month or,
right.
you know, what's going on. So we spend extra time just doing that. But it's, you know, we love racing down that way, so, you know, we come as much as we can.
Do you do any racing up there in Canada?
Well, last year was the first year. I ran one race last year in Vernon, B.C. with the Late Model Challenge, and in fact, we're going back up there to run with them again on June the 14th, and that was the first time that I'd run in Canada since the Northwest Tour used to run some races in Victoria and
wow.
ran races in Calgary way back when. In the early days of the tour, we used to come to Canada quite a bit, so... You know, we hadn't been in Canada for probably 12 or 13 years, and it was fun to get back in Vernon and run a race last year.
I know, Pete, that you go to Daytona every year, and you've seen Kevin back there. Have you ever had the desire, or have you had the desire, maybe even an opportunity to do something back there?
Well, I've always had the desire. By the time I got, you know, back in off the dirt and kind of onto the pavement racing, you know, I was at an age where more or less it, you know, passed me by, you know, to get any chance. And I'd thought about, you know, trying to do it a long time ago and got close a couple of times, but none of the deals I ever really got put together were, you know, what we felt were even decent enough to get going. I tried to race a Craftsman truck a few years ago down in Phoenix, and you know, nothing against the team or anything, but they will, you know, they just weren't prepared, and we never made the show, so that was disappointing. So, you know, really, if you none of the guys have a, you know, a proper team to go race for, it, you know, can really wear on you pretty quick.
Hey, Pete, a couple of things. First of all, when we had you on, oh gosh, it was a month and a half ago, right before the opener was supposed to happen at Evergreen Speedway, we had Ron Fritzley on, and mm-hmm. kind of. Railroaded him with, you know, I asked you to tell me your favorite Ron Fritzley story. Very good one, by the way. But this is kind of a two-part question. First of all, I want to hear just a Pete Harding story. Have you got one you can whip out real quick?
Well, yeah. In fact, I told it in the garage a few days ago. We were talking about different race car drivers and all the years I'd race. And one year we went down to Florida to race on the dirt track down there at Volusia. And I was racing with Larry Ruttman, who was a great Northwest driver and a great tour driver. And he was racing on the dirt. And we had a red flag about halfway through the race. And I looked over at him, and here he was pushing in. He had a cigarette lighter on his dashboard, and he pushed the cigarette lighter in. He took a cigarette out, and he lit it up, and he was sitting there under the red flag smoking a cigarette.
Times have changed.
You know, I can imagine doing that nowadays in a NASCAR race.
Oh, yeah. That would go over real well, wouldn't it?
That Larry Ruttman, boy, he was a heck of a race car driver, and it was fun to race with him down there on the dirt, and I always remember that story.
Who do you who comes to mind is probably the best you've A, either seen or B, raced on the same track with over the years?
Well, there's been a lot of great drivers over the years. You know, I always looked up to Ron Eaton. He was always a little bit ahead of me, and when he used to come up to Langley up here, he was always the top guy, and then Garrett Evans, you mm-hmm. know, after that. They're great tour champions. Geez, I don't know how many championships, you know, probably 10 or 12 between the two of them, and a tremendous amount of races.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Phillips, who used to come up this way, was a great race car driver. And, you know, one guy that I raced against on the tour that always did a good job that I felt has a chance and still might have a chance was Kevin Hamlin. I know he's back there trying to get a ride, and he always drove well with us on the tour, and I always felt that him and Jeff Jefferson was another one that those type of young guys, you know, given the chance, I always felt that those kind of drivers, you know, might be able to make it up the ladder and, you know, get up to the cup race. And of course, Greg Biffle drove with us for 1 year on the tour way back when, and then he obviously got the break and made it up there. So there's been some great Northwest drivers that that I'm sure could have made it given the right chances, you know.
Pete, I want to shift gears a little bit and ask you to pretend that nobody's listening and it's just me and you. And I just want to ask you what, you know, with all the changes between the, you know, the ASA and maybe the Late Model Challenge Series and fuel costs, what do you think the state of the late model racing is in this area up here in the Northwest?
Well, you know, standing back and look at it, we do have a problem. Obviously, cost is, you know, really, really got into these series, and I just don't think there's enough good touring late model cars to have the two series go head to head like we did last weekend. Somehow, you know, we've got to synergize the two series like the Indy cars and the car did, and you know, try to get the two series back together, or at least not scheduling against each other. Whatever's going on in the background there, I'm not privy to, but they need to get that fixed up so that the races, you know, so that we can race against each other and not be scheduling against each other. So I don't know how to make that happen, but you know, they need to take a hard look at that.
I'm going to switch gears once again, and we'd like to congratulate you on your 40 years, but also on your granddaughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I Shane had a wonderful granddaughter, 8 pounds, 2 ounces, a couple of weeks ago, Cadence, and, you know, it makes me proud to see my kids having children, and, you know, that's my fourth grandchild in the last 2.5 years.
So. Holy cow.
So I didn't have any 2.5 years.
How can you afford to race?
Well, you know, I'm going to need a bigger grad pretty soon.
I bet you will.
So I got the grandchildren coming, or want my seat, one or the other.
So, yeah, there you go.
You know, I've been real fortunate, and... you know, we're looking forward to spend time together.
You know, Pete, as we wrap up with the winner of the ASA Aero Exhaust Northwest Tour race last Saturday over at Yakima, Pete Harding. Last time you were on, Pete, also as well, you gave a very, very nice message out about men's health. And for those who didn't hear it, I'd like you to speak on that.
Okay, I sure will. A couple of years ago, about 10 years ago when I was 45, I'm 57 now, I started going to the doctor every year and having a physical. Part of that physical was what's called a PSA test, and I didn't really even understand it at the time, but it was a blood test that told you basically the condition of your prostate. And for 10 years, I had no problems, and then all of a sudden, I went 1 year, and the number had risen, and I went in and went back and had a biopsy, and they told me I had cancer in the very early stage. And because I've been getting the PSA test and I caught it so early, I was able to get rid of it. And today I'm happy to announce I've been about 1 year and 4 months completely free of cancer.
Wow.
And it's all because of the PSA test. I know none of the men like to go, but all of you guys out there listening and all, you know, the sons and everybody, if your dad's 50 or over, get them to go to the doctor and ask for that PSA test, because it saved me and it's allowed me to go racing and be with my grandchildren.
Awesome. Okay. Good words, my friend. Way to go.
Thank you.
We're proud of you. So you will be strapping in the Harding Forklift LP Body Shop Monte Carlo coming up when next?
Yeah, we're going to go run the road course in Seattle next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We tested a couple of weeks ago. Me and Ron Eaton were down there on a Friday afternoon. And,
mm-hmm.
We got the car going pretty good, so I'm looking forward to going there and doing some road racing.
You two mix it up a little bit while you're down there?
Yeah, I sure did, and you know, it's a
can't imagine that.
Guys, it's a challenge for us guys doing more than one thing at once in the car there, so we're going to have some fun and go there on June the 6th and 7th.
Awesome. Outstanding. Well, Pete, as always, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on the health issue, and congratulations as well on the race win. It was really nice to find out you took that victory.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on.
Hey, anytime, my friend. Take care. Pete Harding, always good to visit with him, because he's just one of the class people that we get to deal with from time to time on this show.
You get out on the racetrack, though, he's one fierce competitor.
Yeah. Yeah. I've witnessed that on occasion. It's been very cool. Carla, who we got coming up next week?
We got Steph Bergman.
Uh-huh.
And Tracy Brandenburg.
Okay. Cool. We'll talk with him. We'll let you listen to it. Hang in there with us. This is North Sound Racing, presented by Action Auto Parts, here on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.